something a little bit interesting tonight. Interesting, I mean, just... Well, it's really two pieces. The second one is really a long piece from Rav Shimshon Pinkus. He gets off topic. But I think there's a lot of interesting points there. Why don't we go through it and, you know, explain some of the points. The first one is the piece from Rav Hirsch, where Rav Hirsch grapples with the Lashonos of Tzchoik. So we have already in the Parsha Lech Lecha that Avraham Avinu was tzochek, and the Rishon told him he's going to have a child, and he laughed. Then you have again at the beginning of Parshas Vayera that by sorry Menu, then when Yitzchak is born, Sari Menu says Kol Shemay Yitzchakli. And meanwhile, the pasuk already tells Rishon that his name is going to be Yitzchak. So this element of tzchoik plays a significant role. It's significant. It clearly comes up a lot in the next two parshiyos. So rehearse on. So the Avram laughs. Vayipol Avram al Yitzchak. So Rabbi Hirsch says over here that the heart of the expression over here is an expression of simcha. The word tzchoik over here means Avram was happy, as opposed to by Sari Meno, which the Torah says there was an element of derision in her tzchoik. Avram Avinu, it seems to be just perceived the loss of joy. But the Meno talks about Tanakh by no means concede this supposition. Even tzchoik with a sin as opposed to a tzadi is not really an expression of joy, but of laughter. And predominantly of jeering, depreciative laughter, or a joke, or a game, but not joy. That's for tzchoik. But tzchoik, with the tzadi, is used without exception for ironic laughter. Laughter that has a certain denying, condemnation of the matter which caused the laughter. The next verse, it says exactly the same matter, referring to the story about Tizchak Sarah, which we not think that's the verse which is the next time is used. That was a lashon of joy. So what's going on over here? One of the fascinating things about Rav Hirsch, he makes this. He has this idea, this premise, that things which are phonetically related, their roots have the meaning. There has to be a connection in the meanings. But skoik and skoik, that I think everybody agrees, that's Pashat. He connects from skoik to tzchoik to tzoak to shoak. Yeah, right? Okay. Without getting the... So once it has the chas, it means to laugh. What's the connection over here? So both are caused by noticing or feeling contrasts. The pairing of unbecoming or incompatible objects. Well, so objectively, they produce laughter, subjectively pain, crying out. So the tzoak and the shog are the subjective looking at it, and the objective means from the outside, the reaction is... That's a fascinating. The insight is. I mean, whether you agree with the idea of the phonetic, his insight is fascinating, right? So, when I stand from the outside and I look at this, this doesn't make any sense. So the reaction is laughter. Different levels of laughter. The person that you're laughing at feels sha'oga and sa'oka.
As we say that,
he feels pain when this happened to him, which doesn't make sense. If he's a healthy self-esteem and he says he can sort of look at how other people look at it, he laughs also, because he's looking at it from the outside. He sort of takes himself out of the picture. Yeah, it happened to me, but the reaction was really funny. You'll get that reaction, right? But what he's saying, even though it happened to me, I'm looking at it the same way other people would look at it. Right? So, you know, the So you have this, you know, really chashur guy wearing this gorgeous suit. He walks outside. The banana peel, he falls down, and, you know, absolute mess out of himself, right? So everybody else says, that's really funny. I mean, you know, the guy looked, you know, really chashur, etc. And he looks like a mess, you know. That's, you know, you laugh at him, right? The guy himself, you know, like, he feels like an idiot. He says, you know what? Whatever it is, and he steps out of it. He says, the tackle was funny, right? So that's the point that he says. Noting such a contrast in something which is necessary for ourselves, which at any rate has no relation to us for the moment, makes us laugh. The ridiculous contrast affecting ourselves, or something which we identify ourselves, pains us and makes us cry out. A small child in a full-bottomed wig, or a gray-haired old man dressed as a lady, causes laughter. As a baby, I'm sorry. So, equally so, the complete disproportion, complete incongruity of the expectation of an undertaking or a performance to the means available for it, or of the performance to the expectation, will do the same thing. To want to empty out the sea with a nutshell, or girl or person titled like an infant, provided that we do not participate in the shame by feeling ourselves identified with him, which case we would cry out. But if you don't have that, all cause laughter. Even skoik, which is joyful laughter, which occurs is only produced by the perception of some opposition which has been overcome, so much that has happened beyond one's expectation. Okay. So the side of all laughter is it doesn't fit. We see something that doesn't fit, the reaction, then we find that funny. So when I live in a person wins a lottery, he laughs. People have this, you know, it's funny. Why is it funny? Because it's beyond the expectation. The title of the story made it was that if I believe I'm going to win the lottery, there's nothing funny about it. It's not beyond my expectation. Mm-hmm. The title of the story made it was that when the Rosh Hashanah told her she's going to have a child, right, she looked at it as something which had been an impossibility, and therefore, when she told that, her reaction is derisive laughter. It can't be. It's beyond. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It's funny. It's a funny of indicating that the supposed thing is not true, and therefore, what you're saying is funny. You could have the opposite. The supposed thing turned out that I believe there was limitation. I found there's no limitation. It's also funny, but that's the funny of joy. So those are the two funnies. Both of them, a reaction is laughter, but it's a totally different type of laughter. See, even so, with joyful laughter is because there was something which has been overcome. Even sakeik, which occurs in reference to races, gymnastic exercises, or music, seems to have the root in the joy of having overcome opposing difficulties. So it would have a striking similarity to that other term for musical virtuosity, which is natseach. Huh. So that's a fascinating thought right there. Like you know, lam natseach to the minatseach. Right, so what are the explanations of lashon? Why is the conductor called the minatseach? So the pasuk he called the minatseach. The Ben Ezra says because part of conducting in orchestra is you decide which music is stronger, which music is weaker, etc. And you make the wind instruments right now be stronger than the strings. So you're menatzeach them, you make them win. Right? So that's the whole process of conducting is this idea of deciding who's going to be stronger, etc. But it is interesting that the lashon of, you know, of music is nitzuach. We're saying, but we even use the lashon of in regards to music. It also seems to have the root of the idea of overcoming opposing difficulties. So he's seeing it. Rashi is seeing it in a little bit of a. Now he touches actually lashon of lam natseach in his Pirush Tehillim to the one who gives victory. It's a lam. It's not referring to the conductor. To a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's the min natseach who gives. Makes people menatzeah, makes people win. That's how he touches it. It's a totally different touch. But so he's right now not getting involved in that point. So when we refer to games, the element of a game, there's the root of it is that there's some competition. There's some either against somebody else or even against myself. I'm winning over my limitations. So that therefore the game is called schok. So that any case, schok is reduced all my knowledge, which strikes as ridiculous. Where in the whole world is there any greater absurd condition than the expression of a 100-year-old man with his 90-year-old wife who never had a child in the course of their long married life, all of a sudden they're going to have a child. And then to expect a great world congregation to rise to place the hopes of the whole future of mankind on this late-born only child, whereas it was not to be expected, in any case, would be early orphaned, that surely is, taking the natural course of events into consideration, an absolute absurdity, placing the very great expectation on the very smallest, almost non-existent beginning. This contrast was so great that even an Abraham, with all his full confidence in Hashem, as was shown by his falling on his face, could not help laughing at the absurdity of the idea of himself and sort of still getting a baby. And this laughter is so important that it is again brought the promise with sorrow and was perpetuated all presented in the name of the child. So therefore, the reason why he's called Yitzchak is because we're perpetuating for eternity the reality of understanding that what we are doing doesn't make sense of Piderach HaTeva. Piderach HaTeva, the reaction should be, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. And that's going to be remembered for perpetuity, bedafka for that reason. The Klai Yisrael lives, doesn't fit into the world in a normal sense. So therefore, every time you see Klai Yisrael continuing to exist, there's an element of schoik involved in it. We don't see it, it's not the schoik, there's an element of the tzoak and the shoag, because it is, that's from our vantage point. From the vantage point of the outsiders, they want to get rid of us, so they're not laughing either, right? But Klai Yisrael has the last laugh in that sense. That we continue to exist. So that's what's going to be. So that's Madafka and Nakuda. He sees it as Avraham Avinu. Even Avraham Avinu, the Ramban says that on Parsha Be'er says that what was the Tanan Sora? I mean, we have to understand the Madrega of the Tanan Sora. She sees three Arabs come and tell her did not hear this in the woof from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She gets it from three Arabs. You know, they come and they see this old woman. They say, you know, you should have a child. So the Ramban says, you should have said a man, can't you? Outside? She didn't say that. She said, you walk into the rabbits, and, you know, the 9-year rabbits, and you say, a bracha for Aich, you should try to have a child next year. You know, the reaction is, it's funny. You know, it's absurd. No, she should have said, I mean, Kenya Ritsa. That's what the Ramban says. And that's a taina on her, which means the taina is a transcend the taina. The taina is, we're expecting her to live in a world with such a clarity that the physical limitations mean nothing, that the natural reactions of the idea that she should have a child at this age, without a tzivui of Hashem, without a nevuah, is, yeah, why not? Right? That should be the natural reaction. To the point that she said, man, it's not absurd to her, because if it looks funny, she rightfully so laughs. What's funny? Why is it funny? God can do anything. If you believe that with every fiber of your being, there's nothing funny about it. If I believe, every fiber being that tomorrow I could win the lottery, I didn't buy a ticket yet, so I can't, right? But I believe that I could, so it wouldn't be funny whenever I get it. It's like, yeah, I won. Like, what's the big ritz? But if I tell you, like, you know, the chance of winning it are one in 75 billion, say, it's not really shy, then I'm like, wow, that's kind of funny. So that's a similar, the schoik is a similar dover, that what we're saying is that we believed in some element of it can't be. Ramban sees that as the tainan sorrow. What Hirsch is saying is, Avraham Avinu also saw that. Right? He believed, he wasn't derisive, but there was some element of Avraham Avinu as well in saying, I didn't expect this. Why didn't you expect this? Rashi can't do anything? But that's true, but the Rashi does normally follow Derech HaTeva. So I didn't expect this. And now you're telling me, he's like, wow, that's really funny. I think that's the point that he's saying.
And with the name, it sounds like it's a good thing. He's perpetuating the idea that we should think of it like it's...
So, because we clearly do live in a world where we do see physical limitations.
So might as well.
And from that vantage point, we need to be reminded that the fact that we are here is pretty funny. It is. Right? You would sort of imagine going back to the hummus of the world and say, you know, ha ha ha, I'm here. That's the words that we would say. Or we say, ha ha ha, what's so ha 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 about it? Right? You know, Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, it would be hard to do that because we still feel the pain. It's too close to us, our focus will be the pain. Mm-hmm. You know, we will feel the elements of Nitzuach, maybe, but we're focusing more on the pain. But you go back to, you know, Tarkamada, I don't feel whether I should or I shouldn't. I'm not in the mode of feeling the pain of the Inquisition. But I'm very comfortable meeting Torquemada saying, ha ha ha, we're still here. Right? That's the words I'm going to say. It's going to be the Nitzuach of the Tzchoik of you thought you could destroy us and you can't. That's, And then he continues this point, that this is the loud laugh that has followed the path of the Jews throughout the course of their history is the true proof of the divine nature of this path. It's not disturbing them as they were prepared for this laughter beforehand. You know, we don't find that strange that we're strange because we know that we're strange because we were told that we're strange. That's why our name is Yitzchok. That's how we produce it. That's the reverse point. Okay. That's the second one. The second piece over here is a piece from Reb Shimshon Pinkus. He talks about tzchoik, referring to games. So it's actually a parsha of Vayera. Tar b'sar tzchoik also li l'kim kol shemay yisachak li. Yisamino z'dikras yisachak al shem ha-tzchoik. It's also called yisachak al shem ha-tzchoik. Both elements are there. So he says, I'd like to explain the yin of tzchoik and mischok, which we have nowadays. But he says there's going to be elements which are reaching beyond our abilities. So as much as he explains it, apparently it was within his ability to explain it, it's a little bit beyond my ability to explain it as well as he did. That part of it. People spend more time in the world of entertainment than they ever did. I think I seem to recall reading a statistic a few years ago that the largest industry in the United States of America, the most financially valuable industry in the United States of America, is entertainment in all its forms. It could be the sports teams. It could be the Hollywood. It could be the movies, the TV. It could be the novels. It could be the magazines. It could be all the amusement parks. You lump it, that's all entertainment. Different forms of entertainment. You lump it all together. It's the greatest industry in the United States of America. Americans spend more money on that than they spend anything else in the country. It's probably true in the whole world. I don't know. You know, I imagine some of the third world countries are busy spending money on food. Mm-hmm. More than on, you know, on the buying toys, but it's quite a statement. I mean, we have no problem believing it. We see the society around us, but it says that this is not the way the world was. It was dark. He went to bed. Right. He's busy watching the TVs and the movies and the radios and all the zachen. Okay. I'm not discussing is it a good thing, a bad thing, is it, you know, madregas, etc. But why does it interest us? The loy kotuel is renek b'tayim. So you take a person, you know, he's 7 years old, and say, how much time have you spent in your life reading novels? You know, or how much time have you spent watching the TV? How much time have you spent in your life? I think they did these studies about, you know, these teenagers. You know, how many hours a week they watch TV? Like, they're spending more than half of their week watching TV. Mm-hmm. Like, so you spend it all, like, what's pulling us to do that? Why? What is the pressure put in the nature of human beings that interests us? It's a good question. So that's the goal right now.
They're saying, you know, Yiddish, Erlem Garlem, stupid people, you know. It doesn't answer the question. There's something which pulls people towards this. Was Ella Hargish, he had something they have said, he's been in us, he vade, yeshna, he's a she, tefisa, mahal, padover, Ella Shagarlem, a cell of his matara, Al Caponim, Tafkidin, he's been in Maya, Doris, Mitzia, Sadab. So you want to explain what it is. Okay, it's a fair question. Schoik in Yonwe. The whole idea of schoik is something which has no real purpose. If it has real purpose, it's not schoik. You have a child playing with the ball. Right? So he throws it from one side to the other, he runs after it, and he throws it back. Right? So a person who comes, a Martian comes and says, like, okay, so. So he says, okay, must be one needed from here to there. So now why did he throw back over there? It must be he needs a bag. So why throw back over there? Right? It's illogical, right? But his mom is enjoying it. But you know, I need you to move the ball from here to there. I'm not in the mood, it's so hard, I'm tired, etc. A minute ago, you're busy happening back and forth from there to there. But yet, if you tell me you have to do it, it's a job, all of a sudden you're too tired. So what's talking about shot? Besides the fact, you know, well, he's a lazy bum. Okay, no, it doesn't answer the question. The enjoyment of being alive is the greatest enjoyment. Now, they're called another some labor her gosh tanog vet ze shukhai. Ma akher shahada rut midi. But we struggle with kach when some alive. Ah, when is dam and rega cut. Here can see the better men of mothers. Can she come out top of the yam rega akher all of the mala of his leadership after. Come on, the rega ze. I think I told you the mice of I have a chaver who's Rabbi Victor Miller's Hatzal's grandson. So he says he was a boy with him. He walked into Zeta's house, and Zeta had this big pan of water, and he stuck. He says, "Yisrael, watch this." He takes a deep breath and he puts his head into the water. Rabbi Miller puts his head into the water. And he's not pulling it out, and the kid's getting really nervous. Like, you know, like a minute, you know, right? He's going. Finally, it like, you know, he's about to faint. Pulls his head out, takes his big, deep breath. He says, "Ah." Now, what was his point? The most valuable thing in the world is breath, is air. I mean, there's nothing more valuable than air. Even food is not as important as air. Water, right? There's nothing more important in the world than air. It's the most valuable thing in the world. But since we always have it, we don't appreciate it. But when you don't have it, and all of a sudden, that last moment you get it, you realize how valuable it is. You really appreciate it. So the scuba diver who's, you know, looks at his timer and he says he has 5 minutes worth of air left and he's 10 minutes from the surface, right? That air is very valuable. When he makes it alive, he says, wow, I made it. The simple of life is the most powerful simple. But we have this strange thing. We only appreciate, we're so used to it, we only appreciate it by being in a moment where we thought we don't have it. I once saw an article by there's the Mashkiach in the by Zalig Epstein, Kalman Epstein in the Queens, Shari Tara. So the Mashkiach there, his name is Ramati Roberts. So Ramati is a Telzer. So he once wrote an article in Jewish Observer, I don't remember how many years ago, he says he explained the drive to do dangerous things. Like the people are like, this is the drive of doing the dangerous thing is skirting death. Because when a person skirts death and he survives, he feels alive. He feels the value, he feels the moment of life. So that moment of life that he feels is so geschmack that he enjoys dealing with the possibility, getting close enough that it's dangerous. This way he can feel alive when he survives. So that's the hargosha of chaim. That's the greatest pleasure which exists in the world. That feeling of that moment is such a gewaltige feeling. So betzim, we should feel it every moment. But we don't. I mean, I can carry something. We forget that we have a head. So you have a headache. You remember, I have a head. So I should feel good that I have a head. Right? But we don't. What's the English phrase you use when you see kids playing around? Oh, they're enjoying life. That's exactly the phrase that we use. So that's mamish the point. They have nothing they have to do. They're not thinking about anything else. They're just being. Just the state of being and enjoying being. What are I doing for no purpose? Because it's no longer I'm enjoying being. Now I'm enjoying doing. But the definition, there's no purpose, makes it that I'm enjoying being. That's the Hanoah, he suggests, of Schaik, of Mesachek. The Batsimin of Meschok. We are the Ba'at Bekador, Mikan Lashom, Mishom Lakan, Chemishim Pamim, with Tikala Maskarat. Hoyadom Rakosha Makabarullah. Kitir the Haguf, Bizu Zakaychus, Shabim Be'eno of Yosim Ekes of Shiasi. All depends on which money it is. So now am I feeling life. I'm feeling all of the everything which I have, all my being is being felt. My being is being felt by the path that I'm better than, I'm stronger, I'm faster. That's all part of me. So I feel that hargosha. That's Hargosha's Chaim that you feel at that moment. There was a Nikra Shashua. Shab Meloshan Vayish Hashem El Hebo Ben Chosoy Hano Shapone Lov. It's Loshan of to turn towards. We know that whenever you have a Loshan of Kefal Loshan, your rock is green, your rock is a deep, intense green. Odom Adam Dam. Shah and Shashua is the same thing. There's the act of being Shah turning towards something. And Shashua is Kirsha Ain Loy Lehekin Lefanois, Elapoina Laman Atzma Mineyube. It's the Shia to himself. Mazel Maus and Shashua, Kashois, Dover, Veloy Matarat, Sadadiz, El Lashem Atzma. Biel Bimuchar, I have Lishak, Lesachek. Nesha Etzloy, Adai, Nakaim, Atzm, Nikim, Matar, Mamela, Masukim, Hem Etzloy. Right, I'm alive. I have fingers, and he's sitting there like playing with his fingers and laughing. He's looking like playing with his fingers and laughing. Like, what's the point of my fingers? Right, because I'm alive. I have fingers. Right? We don't sit there and play with fingers and say, "Wow, I'm alive. I have fingers." We don't find it funny. It's not like, you know, exciting. Because life has gotten, you know, the busyness of life has taken over. Okay. Now, l'umazoyis etzel agadol. Etzem adar v'shu noishem. I breathe. U'margish et etzba oisav, v'yudea oisam, v'sef v'sam, enin otan negav v'roi. Ki kamar yisragel, yosim yidai, l'etzem achayim. I'm too used to it, to think about it. Alba kashu kara eza sefer metach, right, one of these suspense novels. Eksha ruven, right of Hashem and kriyatze b'zeh. Alba bisha ein loy b'kak kol tu'elis. Shrekam ruven, v'gav Hashem and lo hoya v'lo nivru. So it's a fascinating thing that the purpose of it is to distract you from all of the things which are real, which are the busyness that we have, to the point that you have hargoshes of which are real hargoshes about something which is not real, because what you're really doing is saying is now you're just enjoying being. The fascinating thing,
appreciate
like
your own life, even if it's.
But
if you're all, yeah, when you hear all the crazy stories of these imaginative people, you appreciate how great your life is, in a way. I think you kind of enjoy your own.
I mean, I don't think he's saying that. That is probably true. But, like, you know, I once walked into a used bookstore. They said, I'm starting a new support group called Overreaders Anonymous. Both proprietors said, we're in. Right? Some people overeat, some people overdrink, some people overread. Right? There's an addiction of getting into a book. You can't put it down. I'm like that. When I pick up a book, I can't put it down. When I was a kid, part of the reason why, for me, it was an escape from life, because my life, my childhood was a very difficult childhood. I finished a book a night when I was a kid. I did not put the book down until I finished it. At 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I would not put the book down until I finished the book. My mother would come in and she'd turn off the light. I would read by the, you know, I had a night light. She took away the night light, I read by the street light. I did not put the book down. That wasn't the gay. And I can read the same book like five times, because I knew the story, but the Hanukkah wasn't knowing the story, the Hanukkah was getting into the story. But I would have tremendous emotions in the story. I would get excited, you know, like, you know, you're getting excited. The person watching will get getting nervous. Like, what are you nervous? Like, you know, there's nothing there. Because deep down what's happening is you've been removed from, you're feeling the hargosha that a human being should feel. The intensity of the emotion a human being should feel when he's just experiencing life without doing anything. We don't normally feel them because we're too overwhelmed by everything else. When I do this, I get a chance to feel those hergation which a human being would feel when he's experiencing, just experiencing life. And that's intense emotions. Yeah, I'm a fairly emotional guy, so that makes it a little bit easier, so a little less. But, okay. So he takes it a step weiter. So far it doesn't sound like this is bad. This mischok thing is bad. It just is, right? We know that the greatest tanug in the world has been mistabra to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The hargosh hachayim is the moment of the Hebrew batzim. You can't hold on to your life. I can acquire food, I can acquire oxygen, I can acquire everything in the world. I can't acquire life. I don't have it. So this is directly from Kodesh Baruch Hu. And being misanag al Hashem is the purpose. Chayim is when you're interfacing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu directly. So that's the greatest tainuk. Shrein ein tainuk kol misanag al Hashem. Then he says, That's why Schoik is so Gishmak. Now, he's going to talk about how it gets diminished. That's not the right word. Okay. Says the Torah is called Bereshit Shashua. Now, the next part, I'm not going to do inside. What he develops on page Reish Chavtes and Reish Lamed. There's a concept called Olamos. So there's Sirius, there's also Olamos. Generally, there's understood to be four Olamos. And they're known by different names. There's the world we live in, there's the world of the Malachim, there's the world of Kisei Kavod, and there's the world of Atzilus of HaKadosh Baruch. Right. It says it's a mistake to see them as being. There's a Kabbalistic concept called Hishtalshelus. Hishtalshelus is that the same true reality of something will express itself in the different Olamos in a way which fits that world. So what we perceive in this world is, in a very physical sense, exists in a higher world in a more ruchni sense, etc. And the process of getting to this world, it comes from the fourth way, as it were, and it's processed down till it comes down to our very physical sense, how it's expressed in this world. But whatever is in the higher olam is here in this world, everything which is, there's the mala, there's the mata, etc. Manager Parsha Truma, we spoke about this, a mashu in Parsha Truma. Okay. So, what happens is that I can take the same thing, which can be the most ruchniyistika concept, and express it in our world in a very, very physical way. Because it has to exist in our world, and it exists in our world in a very physical sense. But that doesn't mean you're not cheapening it by doing that. So if the greatest time which exists in the Bria, because the greatest interface with a human being in Kadosh Baruch Hu is the moment of the Rega on the Sinas Chaim, which happens every single Rega. So every single Rega, Be'etzem, we're Oymed Lomus, and the Bershom gives us Chaim, and we should have that Argosha of the Simcha of Chaim. If we would interface with it like that, the time which you would have would be a time of Ruchni Adam Oyd. But instead of interfacing it with the hargosha of the moment of mamis and the understanding the simcha of the value of chayim and feeling the hargosha of Kadosh Baruch Hu giving it to me and feeling that interface of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and feeling the simcha of that and that tainug, instead of doing that, we express it in an extremely, extremely physical way just by being. And we express that when we do the moment of schoik, we feel that that's an expression of chayim. So you're taking the most, the highest expression of Kedusha, the tachas of the whole Bria, the Rosh Hashanah to be made to the Bria, which is Lisanag al Hashem. So this is the purpose of the whole Bria. This can be the apex of all existence, and you made it into Schaik. It's destructive to the ruchnius of a human being, Lein Shir, Lein Erech. Anytime you take something which is Kaddish and you diminish it, it's destructive. So that's the danger of Schait. Because you're taking the most valuable thing in the world, which could be, and you're diminishing down to the lowest thing which could exist. I'm this is the way I understand it. Go to page Reish Lamed Aleph. Nimsin Alameidim. Shemaus HaShashua She Etzem HaGoshes HaChayim Mineu Bei. Just enjoying being. B'Kach HaLivimus Binyanim G'daylam Mulvad Etzem HaNor. It could possibly be this tremendously uplifting tzius for the person. K'Hashem Margash Adam Nehanim Etzem HaChayim. He was who served El Kirboy as a chayim with Sargeshim Halalu. Vashela he rak be'elu hachayim who mishtashayim. Umishtashayim, but the kudus of Ephesha Olamenu. He just focuses on the nothingness which there's here. So I express chayim because chayim is just like the expression of existing and not being nothing. The target is nothing. You end up being a nothing. So the soccer fan whose whole being becomes just existing from the enjoyment of watching soccer or playing soccer. You look at it like there's nothing to the God. It's a pashat. He's an ayin ve'efes. He's a mamash of nothing. They're bottle. They're bottle to their team. They're bottle. They don't exist. Al kasher mishashaya b'tara bli makshav shal tevelas asidus koshi. Now the shashua of tara, if you do it because you have a goal, it's not shashua anymore. Tara is the place of interface between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. See, if I'm just enjoying having Torah, I enjoy Torah. Why? Because I can explain this. No. Why? Because I can do this. What? No. Why? Because I'll get scared. No. I'm just enjoying Torah. That's Shashua. That's you're enjoying the Etzem Achayim of the Torah. But if it has any other purpose, I'm saying Etzem Amaus serving as Etzem Amaus a Torah Torchei. It's the same. It's the same Metzius. It's just a whole. It's three alamas up. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu expressing of his being into the world is Torah, because Kadosh Baruch Hu arises Chazal. So when I'm the Hanoah of learning Torah is rooted be'etzim in that feeling of interfacing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a vayter feeling I am nothing, and there's a chiyus which comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu that's expressed by his expressing his rotzen into the bria, and I'm touching that, so I mamish feel alive. That's the shashua of Torah. It's the same shashua. So I and the soccer fan are doing the same shashua, getting totally different results. I'm being the scarber to the chiyus, and he's being the scarber to the ephes of the ayin. Right? Me'at no mekim avas is chatzis shor mezmano b'mischak shachmat ma'o genus hamas. Now you understand what the problem with it is. Right? He said, "What's wrong with chess?" But the problem is, like, what is chess? It's a game. It's a nothing. And if you're going to connect to it, you get involved in it intensely. You're concentrating on it. You can't get the guy's attention. So he's being mechaber his being to nothingness. And Tak enjoys it. That's why you're able to get so in the mechaber to it. Because it's the mechaber to just being. Together with the nakuda of my kaychus, which is I exist now in this world through nothing. Great. I wanted to find my existence by nothingness.
But the problem is you can learn Tarvis Hashem. No.
You're diminishing your being.
Now, he says, you understand. So he says the fascinating thing. He says, why, if Chazal was so smart, why didn't Chazal reveal electricity to the world? Now, electricity is a wonderful thing. But you have to admit that there's a lot of danger in the world of electricity. Before the world of electricity, came nighttime, people went to sleep. After the world of electricity, comes nighttime, people stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, destroying their lives. What's the mile of the car? The car is Gavaldic mile. He says, yes, and therefore you can spend your whole life running from one Meshuggah Nezach to the next Meshuggah Nezach to waste your life, which you can never do beforehand. There's tremendous, it's with all of the advantages, he says, and he told the computer games, you know, he died, you know, 20 years ago. He had no idea what computer games look like, you know.
Internet.
But, I mean, there's people. I just saw a statistic now, which is a mind-boggling statistic. So the latest statistic shows that people have lost interest in making personal relations with people because they get so much pleasure of interfacing with their phone, they have no need to make social relationships with people. The majority of the people between the ages, I don't know, of 20 and 30, do not have social relationships. They're busy just with their phone. They're miskaber to a nothing. It's a piece of electronic chip, and that's what the miskaber to. It's the scariest thing in the world. The whole being of the human being is so they're worried about artificial intelligence taking over. You know, well, it's partially because like the human being has made himself into nothing. So artificial intelligence at least is something. You know, it's part of it. I mean, we're an idiot if we want to be miskaber to this thing. So what do you want? You know. That Shachar Zal say, "Bixul Mashiach beis vad yilus nus." It says, "Once upon a time it was Gnei b'Gzeilah Ritzicha." Time, right? There's some benefit. We understand what you want, right? Ella, time of belief shum to Ella's is schoik because of Abayi. That's where the base of Lachokma. Its whole function and what drives the research for all these things. They have a better computer, they have better games. Like, that's what it's about. So all the chokhmah in the world now is it's lesnus. Not lesnus of arayas. Lesnus of just misdirecting function. Okay, and that's... Then he says, so how do you counterbalance that? He says, you counterbalance it with the Sheshu of Torah. Sheshu of Torah is, if you learn Torah for a purpose, you're not going to get the Sheshu. You learn Torah because you learn to appreciate it. Learning Torah is enjoyable in its own. So that's why the minhag is to start teaching children Yikra. Because it's takanot to Elisad. It's just learning Torah to get absorbed in the world of Torah. So that's shot in the minhag why we start with the Yikra. That's what he says. You can, right? Or we start parsing Bereishis, which might do. Like he says, like you know, like we have no shaykhus to that. Fine. So he says that's Yitzchak Avinu, page Rishon Medal. He says so. Kulam Sharlim, Ma'os Yisro Kol Yemei Chayi B'Mei Hizasik. We don't know anything about Yitzchak's life. Come on, what he did. Avraham Avinu was Karei B'Shem Hashem. Yaakov, we have all of his stories, everything he's doing. Yitzchak was Yitzchak. What was he doing? He was here. I don't know. We have like you know we get to know about three or four Sipurim, and he has 180 years of life. What was he doing? We don't know. The answer is Yitzchak Nikra Al Shem Askoik. V'zeh Ma'ashos Sichek Hishasheya Hishasheya B'Shashua Shalom Kodesh Baruch. Because he was double the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I can catch Allah Bechai will look at Yitzchak. Normally, a person doesn't get the shame of Kodesh Baruch Hu when he's alive. Yitzchak got that. Yitzchak lived in a world where he made the world he was connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was misanig al Hashem. And that's Olam Haba. Olam Haba is. So the element of schoik which is there, it's like the this
ayin of ephes that we feel vis-a-vis Kadosh Baruch Hu will just become deeper and deeper and deeper, which means we become more and more, not a barrier, but more and more connected. And feeling that presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu expressed through the Torah will be more and more and more simple, because you're feeling chaim every rega. Every rega, you have a whole new understanding of Torah beyond what you could imagine that existed. That's the schoik.
The schoik has a positive.
There's a positive
and a negative schoik.
So that's the positive element. I could never imagine the breadth of Torah. So a person comes home and says, wow, look how big Torah is. Wow, that's good. And he feels it. So that's schoik. Then he goes a second weiter, and there's a whole new understanding of it. Weiter. So that's the schoik which will exist in Olam Haba. That's the schoik of Etzem Achayim. Every moment is a whole new world, which is of understanding, which means a whole new world of being connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu will be presented to the person. It is a gorgeous piece.
It seems related to some element of Das also. When you say Chochmah, but it's about connection, but it's the understanding that creates the, it sounds like, right?
Because that's the Mokum where the Mokum where the Bashem made it. We have the Chibur with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Chibur with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is through Chayim.
It sounds like they both have to be connected, because without the Das and the...
So in this world, that's what they did. They just did the Chayim part of it. They just turned off the mind, and they did the Chayim part of it, so that you diminished the whole Metzius. It's a beautiful piece. I just figured I would share it with you. In the last page, it talks about the Mischachei HaMachashev, about the computer games. The Chachmei Erlem now were spent. I mean, there's a multi-billion-dollar industry of making computer games. Right? There's people who their whole parnosa is spending their life making games. It's like somebody said to me, I can understand at least the game of a person physically doing something. It gives you exercise, it gives you something. He says, everybody's saying, you missed the point. The hanah of the game of physically doing something, be'etzem, is a shikul stira. Because the hanah is the knot. The mile of the computer, it's the gor knot. That's its mile. That's the best game in the world. That's why, you have people which have addictions to computer games. It's an awesome thought process that he opens up. Okay, let's hold it here.